Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life.
Testing.
I think we've got our volume levels like
dialed
testing, in.
Literally yeah. Dialed. Literally.
All right.
I love technology.
Can we speak in whale?
Seriously.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Mortgage Life podcast. So today's episode, I was really excited about. It was our first offsite interview. And as with many firsts, there was some technical difficulties. I was having some issues with my mic, so you don't hear my voice so much, but I was there smiling and nodding and listening intently the whole time.
I was giving you written prompts. Mindy. Yeah.
You're passing notes.
Yeah, passing notes. So,
to clarify, we had our guest was remote. The three of us are on location. And this apparently is a very tricky thing to get technology to work properly, to get all three of us into the same, anyways, without getting too techie on the podcast stuff.
Mindy and I were hearing our voices twice, which was really confusing. So you will hear us bumble a little bit, especially me.
Yeah, so we interviewed Brendan Ogmanson from the BC Real Estate Association. He's an economist, and what better person to discuss the Bank of Canada interest rate increase this morning and how it affects you, the consumer, real estate prices, interest rates, qualifying rates. I thought it was a great conversation.
It was great, and I love that we finished off on the psychology of the buyer and how this is impacting inflation. So please have a listen through. It's a great episode.
So today we had a big change in the Bank of Canada rate. The rate went up by 1%, 100 basis points. And today, to discuss this, we've got Brendan Ogmanson of the BCREA. He's the chief economist there, the BC Real Estate Association. So thank you for being with us, Brendan.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Can you give us a little bit of a background on what you do as chief economist?
Yeah, sure. So we are an industry association. We represent our member boards and the 25,000 or so realtors across British Columbia. We do everything from education to government relations to what I do in economics. We basically just follow trends in the housing market, communicate those trends to the public and to realtors. We forecast. We do some kind of research stuff, kind of, you know, we have a bit of a think tank function where we will do kind of one-off research on key topics. I think that kind of covers it. Media relations, interviews like this.
So I think you're the perfect person to talk about what's happened today with the Bank of Canada and how that might affect the consumers and the real estate market. So can you give us a little bit of an insight and opinions on what happened today with that change?
Yeah, so it was a surprise. I think everyone had kind of in their heads baked in a 75 basis point increase in the overnight rate. Instead, the Bank of Canada went a full point, bringing their overnight rate from 1.5% all the way to 2.5%. The implications for home buyers, people with the mortgages are you know, not that severe immediately. Only about 2% of Canadian households have an adjustable rate mortgage. So very few households will actually see their payment increase today. You know, variable rate mortgages are mostly fixed payment. So you'll just see the interest portion rise with the increase in prime. The bigger issue is that they signaled that they're going to be really, really aggressive. So we had seen five-year bond yields start to retrace over the last month. They're still down, but they have started to inch up. And with this morning's announcement, we might see those rates pick back up. And of course, those are important because five-year bond yields tend to drive the five-year fixed rate, which is pricing in a Bank of Canada at like 3.25 to 3.5%. So still some ways to go. And importantly, the really important transmission mechanism here is the qualifying rate. You know, whatever your rate you're getting from your bank, you're going to have to pay the higher of 5.25 and 200 basis points over kind of the average rate in the market. So that means qualifying right now at over 7%, which is a pretty heavy lift at current prices.
What I think is really important is that you've talked about the variable rate and how it affects variable rate clients and those adjustable rate clients, and how there's also an interplay in between this change and fixed rates, which are also kind of adjusted a bit with the variable. So can you tell us a little bit about how this might affect real estate prices?
So, you know, because 5-year fixed rates move based on expectations of what the Bank of Canada is going to do, and those expectations repriced really fast over the last few months, we're already seeing the impact of those rates on activity in the market. Given how the qualifying rate is, a lot of demand has been pushed to the sidelines. In Metro Vancouver, we're seeing home sales activity come down to levels that are pretty similar to what we saw in 2018, 2019, the last time the Bank of Canada was raising rates, and of course, when the B20 stress test was introduced. I think that's a really good benchmark for what we're going to see over the next year. It's pretty low levels of activity, you know, as home buyers and potential buyers kind of struggle with affordability, given how high rates are. On the pricing side, we started the year at record low levels of listings. So it takes a while for markets to kind of balance out. You know, as listings last a little longer on the market, inventory starts to build. Sales are about 25% below average for this time of year. So that means that markets are adjusting pretty quickly. There's also been a real shift in the composition of sales. So more expensive properties, and especially single family homes more so in the Fraser Valley, are right now a record low for the share of home sales overall. And that's really kind of messing with average prices. So average prices in some markets are down 20% from peak. But if you kind of go, you know, category by category, detached is probably down 3-4% in Vancouver, maybe closer to 10% in like Langley and Surrey from peak. And that peak was really high in February. And I guess we'll probably continue to see some weakness. There was this really odd thing that happened at the end of 2021, where prices surged from about October to February 2021.
A lot. Yeah.
A lot. And it was really odd at the time. And all that whole surge has been completely undone in the last couple of months, especially in the Fraser Valley and markets like Chilliwack. Where we go from here is going to be really interesting. A lot of that was composition. A lot of that was people buying more expensive homes. Now that the share of kind of expensive homes and the overall kind of mix of sales is at near historical low, I think we'll get more of a signal on what's going on in markets. And I expect we'll finish the year probably down 5-10% from where we finished 2021. It's one of those weird things with the math of average prices where we calculate them over the whole year. So we'll probably still be up like 10% over this entire year compared to 2021. But we will finish the year at a lower level than we finished last year.
And that's like the analogy that we've had kind of rolling around in our brains, is that yo-yo on an escalator. It's still going up, right? It's never a bad time to get into the market. And that's what we've been talking to our clients about, is that the time is now, if you're going to get into the market, if you have the opportunity to do so. But it's interesting to hear that the prices are starting to balance out a little bit, and you're seeing a little bit more activity on the consumer side with prices decreasing?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, we're still seeing sales come down in most of the province. There are markets like the north and parts of the interior that haven't really felt the effects of interest rate increases much at all. Right. But in the lower mainland, more expensive markets, we are seeing sales activity decline. I don't know how much lower activity can go in some markets. You know, Chilliwack is probably the hardest hit. Sales are almost at pandemic levels. But, you know, they fell really sharply, and parts of the Fraser Valley have had similar impacts. And it's probably about as low as sales can go. So we could see things rebound, but we're really not going to have a meaningful, I think, recovery in activity until we get a bit of relief on interest rates. And in order to get relief on interest rates, we're going to have to get some good news on inflation over the next 6 months. That inflation is coming down faster than expected. Not holding my breath. But if that were the case, we would probably get a less aggressive Bank of Canada priced into those long-term yields, and therefore mortgage rates might come down a bit. But again, the bank has really signaled that they have a single-minded pursuit in crushing inflation. And until we get good news there, we're going to be dealing with pretty high rates and a really high qualifying rate for a while.
On that qualifying rate, do you think that benchmark is going to change alongside the prime and fixed rates? Because, I mean, we're qualifying now. If prime now goes to 4.7 on the mortgage side, that means we're qualifying variable at 6.7 and then fixed over 7%.
So virtually everything is above that 5.25.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we're qualifying buyers at rates that haven't really been relevant since the early 2000s.
Right.
It's one of those things where the qualifying, the 5.25%, you know, kind of benchmark qualifying rate or minimum qualifying rate. I'm guessing that policymakers are probably patting themselves on the back at this point, because I think when that was first introduced, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, we're not going to see 5% rates. This rate is too high. Now we're, you know, qualifying it above that level. I'm guessing they're congratulating themselves on their prudence. Whether or not we need to be qualifying people at 200 basis points above a rate, you know, a 5% rate, I don't think so. Especially, you know, if you can qualify at 5.25 at these prices, and if it's a single family home, you're putting down more than 20%. So, you know, I'm not sure that would, yeah, I would like to see the rules around qualifying adjusted, maybe just to have a flat minimum qualifying rate, you know, or even just like your rate in the market or the qualifying 5.25, whichever is higher, but without the buffer, I think might help things out. But we'll see. I mean, they're with OSFI and with the Department of Finance and CMHC, you know, they haven't exactly been erring on the side of helping out the housing market over the past couple of years. So I'm not expecting that they're going to, when they review the qualifying rate this year, that they're going to make it any easier.
I mean, my thought is that they designed the benchmark as a buffer for this exact situation, right? So are we going to continue needing to buffer ourselves for more increases?
Yeah, it's interesting. And this is where you get into expectations again. If the Bank of Canada is going to go to 3.25, 3.5%, where markets are currently priced in, this is about as high as rates are going to go on a 5-year fixed. We'd have to see, you know, if, you know, a year from now, inflation is still really high and expectations of inflation are really high, and the bank's going to have to go to like pre-financial crisis levels of their policy rate, like 5%, you know, that's the only situation I can see where we would have mortgage rates really rise significantly from where they are now. You know, we did some work on like what's an equilibrium 5-year fixed rate. So if the Bank of Canada's neutral rate, the rate at which, you know, inflation's back to 2%, the economy's operating at full capacity, is around 2.5%, that would imply an equilibrium kind of long-term 5-year rate that's around 4.6 to 4.8. Which, you know, lower than we're at today. But again, markets are pricing in like a 3.5% policy rate. So I think there's room to come down as long as inflation starts coming down after the summer. If we, you know, maybe we're only come down from over 5 to 4.5 to 4.75 or something, but still that would provide some relief to the market.
4.75 would be far less shocking than 5.5.
Yeah, exactly.
So kind of in summary, what you're saying is, in terms of the real estate prices, they've obviously been affected a bit by the rising rates. But if we kind of, to use Malcolm Gladwell's outliers, if we take out some of those outliers, like what we've seen in the last few months, both on the upside and the downside, average-wise, we're going to kind of continue to see it overall rising. There's going to be differences in certain markets, but we'll see that. And then in terms of rates, we may still see some upward trends because the Bank of Canada has indicated that there's some upward movement still. In terms of how it affects our consumer, the person that's getting a mortgage today, what should they be looking out for? Should they be locking in, or should they be kind of going through a really deep dive in terms of you know, their needs and wants and timelines?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and one I get a lot and always struggle to answer on the variable versus fixed. I like the safety and kind of predictability of a fixed rate a lot of the time. It's just my personality. I think it's really, you know, what you, it's hard. It's really hard. I'm in the, you know, interest rate forecasting game, and it's a really difficult one, and we're always wrong. You know, we're at, you know, it's, you know,
all the best economists, right?
I'm sure you read, you know, the forecast of economists all the time. We're never right about these things. Right now, the kind of, there's this growing consensus that perhaps we're going to be in a recession in 2023, you know, second half of 2023. Maybe that means we're going to be in a recession sooner, because these things always tend to move a lot faster than expected. But that would mean the Bank of Canada lowering rates. And so if you're in a variable, you would actually get the benefit of that. And, you know, 5-year fixed rates would come down as well. I don't know. It's ultimately, you know, what are you most comfortable with? It's the same thing on whether or not it's a good time to buy. I get that question a lot. Right. Drives me nuts. It's, you know, it's the only advice I ever give about whether, you know, someone should buy is, you know, find something you're comfortable with that you can afford and you're going to be in for a, you know, 5-year period, at least, so you can kind of smooth out the types of ups and downs we're seeing right now. Hopefully not the ups and downs of like a global pandemic and a resulting recession, but, you know, just normal volatility. Hopefully one of these days we'll have a nice boring couple of years.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
That's what I was expecting. You know, when in 2019, my expectations for next year was just like a nice boring year where we're going to have an average level of sales and price growth around inflation. And that didn't happen. And it's been a pretty wild ride ever since.
So the next Bank of Canada rate announcement is September 7th. Are we going to see another increase?
Yeah. I mean, they signaled this morning that they aren't done. So if you take their word for it, I'm guessing they will be at 3% by the end of the year, whether it means, you know, 25 basis points in September and 25 in December. However, they're going to get there. They're going to be probably at 3% by the end of the year. That's kind of what they've signaled. That's what financial markets expect. If you look at, you know, 6-month treasuries, they're basically at 3% now. So you can expect another 50 basis points over the next, what is it? Do they have 2 meetings left or 3 meetings left? I always forget. There's an October meeting, right? Yeah. So over those 3 meetings, we'll get, you know, if we don't get rate hikes of 25 basis points at each, or they just go right to 3 at the next meeting, you know, we'll see. But we're going to get to 3 by the end of the year regardless.
So my question ties into that. You know, they signal that they're going to continue increasing the rate. Do you think there's a portion of that that's playing into the psychology of buyers, the psychology of consumers? Are they trying to encourage us to panic or not?
No, I'm really glad you brought that up. It's a really important piece of what they're doing, the most important piece of what the Bank of Canada is doing. Not all of the sources of inflation, but a huge part of inflation is coming from energy prices, and a big part is coming from impaired supply chains. Probably over half of inflation we're seeing right now is just from those two sources. And then things like food prices are driven by energy prices as well, because you have to ship that food all around the country. So a lot of what we're dealing with on inflation is really about oil prices. There's absolutely nothing the Bank of Canada can do about oil prices. There's nothing they can really do about supply chains. Either what they want to do is really bring down the expectations of households. And you saw this in their communication and their statement this morning. They really want to prevent a scenario where plurality of Canadian workers are going to their employers and saying, you know, inflation is going to be 10% next year. I need a 10% wage. Those firms say, well, we got to raise prices now to get, you know, to get ahead of those wages increase. And we get this spiral from expectations to wage demands back to prices, and you get this unanchored inflation. That's really what the Bank of Canada wants to prevent. So they want to break the psychology we're seeing right now that has consumers expecting higher and higher inflation. It'll be interesting how successful they are at that. There's only so much they can do. I think inflation expectations are almost entirely on the consumer level are almost entirely guided by gas prices, which are printed in 1,000-point font every couple of blocks. So it's really hard to ignore rising prices and to get that baked into your psychology. And every time you go to the grocery store and your bill is higher every month, those are the things that drive expectations. And it's really difficult for the Bank of Canada to affect those. all they can really do is signal they're going to be super aggressive on inflation. And that's what they're doing right now. And to kind of break that psychology, how successful they can be given where inflation is coming from is kind of an open-ended question at this point.
That's amazing. I think we've had some amazing conversation, good insights. Thank you, Brendan, for really breaking that down for us and at least giving our listeners something to think about.
Thank you.
Do you have any other comments that you want to leave with us before we sign off for today?
I really like that you have color-coded microphones. I think you can play into it more by having like matching like jumpsuits or something.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that maybe for when you guys have like a YouTube show.
Yes, exactly.
We have a fourth microphone and the bobble on that one is yellow.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you visited us in person, you could even ride the stationary bike there.
That's what we should do. Maybe that should be a segment. You just have a guest on a stationary bike.
Fire questions.
Be coherent.
Really appreciate it, Brendan.
Thank
you so much for taking your time out of your day and joining us on this.
You bet.
This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.